will do their best to be very kind to you while you're here. And if there's anything at all that you need, you let us know what it is. Unless it's money, we don't have a whole lot of that. Well, we will do the best to get you some lunch somewhere, though. But we really do appreciate you coming. Could you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15? 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Read you just a few verses of Scripture here this morning, and then talk to you, believe it or not, about something that's not talked about very much, right, let alone preached about. The day and age in which you live, there's a lot of things that are said about the crucifixion, and it should be. And the battle and the argument no longer is over whether or not Christ was crucified. The battle nowadays is whether or not He was resurrected. And the important thing that you need to know is that if you just believe He was crucified, then your salvation is in jeopardy, because it requires another part. Amen. And that part is the resurrection that came after the crucifixion. Because if He didn't come up, then any religion is as good as the other religion. The difference in your religion and your relationship is that your Redeemer came out of the tomb. Their Redeemer is still in the tomb. You can find His bones. That's the difference in yours. Two major differences. One, born of a virgin. You say, why? Because He had God's blood in Him. Now, here's the thing you need to know. A lady questioned me about that not too awful long ago and said, well, I understand that it comes from the woman instead of the man. You've always said it comes from the man. It can come from the woman, and it can come from the man. The bloodline can. It can come from a mixture of the two. But what the science has proven is whichever is the strongest bloodline of the two will be the bloodline that the child gets. Now, are you going to tell me that Mary's bloodline was stronger than God's bloodline? So I believe the blood of Jesus Christ came from His Father, Acts 20:28, because He specifically deals with that when He talks about it, and He says that He purchased us with His own blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's God's blood. Well, you can't try to humanize everything. Some things you have to believe by faith. And the resurrection is one of them. Anybody in here seen the resurrected Lord? Oh, I was hoping He might be here today. Okay, well then you have to accept it by faith. Amen. The cornerstone of your religion, ladies and gentlemen, is by faith you accept the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What gospel is that? Well, it's repent and be baptized. No, that's not it. It's keep the golden rule. No, that's not it. Paul's going to tell you what it is, which I have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What did He preach unto them? He's going to tell you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 2. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, the book of Luke tells you that, the book of Acts, where the apostle Luke writes this, or Paul, he said, not, no, it was Luke, says this. He says, by many infallible proofs, in other words, there's a lot of things that prove that Jesus Christ came up. This is what the apostle Paul writes here in verse 5, and that He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. And after, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. That's not at a church service right there. They fell asleep. That means they're dead. After that, He was seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all, seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am least of apostles and not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly that they all, yet not I, but the grace which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Amen. Father, we'd ask now that You might help us as we run through these passages this morning and just remind ourselves of the importance of this doctrine that is in the Bible. Amen. We'd ask God that if there's someone here today on this day, no better day to be saved than the day that You came up from the grave. Amen. We'd ask God that You might minister to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'd ask God now that You might remove us mentally and emotionally as well as spiritually from the things of the world, And Lord, you might speak to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're being seated, would you come with me to Romans chapter number 4? I know that you know most of these passages, but I want to run a few of them. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord says, I must go to Jerusalem to suffer, be killed, and be raised again the third day. In Matthew chapter number 12, the Lord says, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. In John chapter number 2, the Lord says about himself, they will destroy the temple, and then I will destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. In John chapter number 11, he says to Martha there, who's talking to him about Lazarus, he says, he'll be resurrected. She says, I know that, Lord. And then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that is in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Now, unless you make Jesus Christ a liar, then when he spoke of his resurrection before he was ever resurrected, then that means he's coming up, or he lied not only about that, but about heaven and about hell and about all the other things that we base our faith on. Right. Romans chapter number 4, it is a critical part of your belief. Very few people talk to you at all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They leave that part of the message out. Listen, He did die for our sins, a horrible, horrible death. Amen. And it's been preached on before, and we've talked about it before, how terrible the beating was and how horrible the torture and the pain and the agony was, and the shame and the agony of Him hanging there naked on the cross. About the earthquake that split and rent the veil in two, and about the storm that gathered, and the darkness that fell about the ninth hour or sixth hour. And when that darkness fell, it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. We talked about all the things about the crucifixion. Most movies you see nowadays deal with life up to the time of the crucifixion. They'll show you a little bit of the crucifixion, and then they'll show you an empty tomb, and that's it. But ladies and gentlemen, the work was done at Calvary, but it continues because of the resurrection. If the resurrection wasn't there, we wouldn't even need to be meeting here today. We would all just as well go have a party somewhere, because, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, you can't get there without somebody covering or paying for your sins. So He shed His blood, but the only way you can get saved is that resurrection has to be a part. Well, why would you say that? Notice what the Bible says, verse number 25. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Do you think that might be important? Look in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Do a little Bible study this morning. It won't hurt you. If the devil can get the church to arguing among itself and focus on anything but the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's been successful at stopping the message of Jesus Christ. Everybody wants to know where they go when they die. But if we get more concerned about political things, if we get more concerned about, gun control, if we get more concerned about governmental interference in our affairs, if we start using the pulpit for our own personal situation, the devil doesn't care what topic you address from the pulpit. Just don't address the topic where he got defeated. How did he get defeated? Not just at Calvary, but when the Lord showed up in hell, slammed the door shut on that side, and preached to those spirits that were in prison that were there and said, you're done, it's sealed, took the keys of hell and death, crossed over the great gulf fixed, opened up that side over there, and when he stepped into that side there, all of a sudden John the Baptist said, hey, I know that guy. Hey, that's my cousin right there. But not only that, that's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He looks a little different. He's got holes in his hands and holes in his feet now. And all of a sudden, the guy said, who'd you say that was? And John the Baptist says, who are you? You just got here. You ain't been down here no time at all. You don't got no seniority to speak around here. I'm the great preacher down here. What are you doing speaking? He said, I just saw that guy. I was hanging up on the cross. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's the same God that was there. Yeah. Amen. And John said, well, he ain't no liar. Amen. If he told you today, he means today. Amen. And all of a sudden, I think the Lord walked down in there. And I think personally, if I was the thief on the cross, first of all, I would think it was strange that he really did what he said he was going to do. And his idea of paradise was something beyond anything he imagined. I think that thief was looking around and he was still in wonder, and he hears the keys jangling in the gate and he's thinking, what is that? They're coming to get me. I must be dreaming. Something's gone wrong. There's no way after what I did that I deserve to be in a place like this. Somebody got this story wrong. And about that time, Jesus walked in. And he said, you're not here because of what you did or didn't do. You're here because you believed on me.
That's right.
And you know what that means? That means he got in. So Jesus Christ walks over there, spends 3 days with those guys down there in the heart of the earth, just like he said he would do. And then after 3 days, you know what happened? I'll get to it in just a second. But you know what happened in 3 days when the Lord comes out over there? You know, the stone gets rolled away, right, Brother Mitch? We know that, right? Do you ever wonder why? The Lord can walk through a door. But see, he didn't roll the stone away so he could get out. He rolled the stone away so we can see in.
Amen.
Because he knew we would doubt. If that tomb was sealed and the Lord showed up, we'd say, that was a ghost. That couldn't have been him. That couldn't have been the one. That couldn't have been the guy that saved. There's no way that that's him. But he rolled the stone away, and so he leaves the clothes there, laying there to the thing, and two angels on either side. One of the apostles even said, well, when the women saw him, they had a vision. There wasn't no vision, man. That's the real thing. That was really alive. The girls didn't say we had a vision. They said we saw him.
Amen.
And then Mary Magdalene, she's down there, you know, she's weeping and crying and squalling and bawling. And all of a sudden, the Lord walks up behind her and says, girl, what's wrong with you? Up-to-date version. And she turns around and she says, you must be the garden talk the way you talk. And he said, well, what are you looking for? I'm looking for Jesus. If you'll tell me where they put Jesus, you tell me. I'll go get him. I'll take care of all the details. I'll pay you off. I'll do whatever. Just tell me where they took him. Just tell me where they took his body. It's not right for them to take that body. I mean, he was precious. Why would they take his body? Just tell me where they took him. And he says, Mary, good night. That's not in the passage. He said, Mary. And the second he called her name, she said, he knows me.
Amen.
By my name. And I know him because nobody can call me like he calls me. And that old prostitute turned around, man, a misfit from everywhere and an outcast from everywhere, and nobody wants nothing to do with her and nobody wants anything to do with her. I mean, in modern day language, she'd be tatted up from head to toe. She'd probably have spikes in her hair and she'd have earrings look like she'd had lost a fight with a nail gun or something. I mean, everybody in town knew her and everybody in town used her. Yeah, that's what it would be like. Don't get all like, well, no, Jesus wouldn't save somebody. He saved you, didn't he? What do you mean he wouldn't save somebody like that? He saved the likes of me and you. I don't know about you. I got a whole lot worse than a prostitute. You think because somebody abuses their physical body, they must be worse than you are. You got the wrong misconception. That's God spends a whole lot more time dealing with what's going on between your ears than he does what's going on with this cotton-picking body.
That's right.
It's still right to do right, but don't get too pharisaical. That's why some of you sort of bucked up a little bit on that eternal security. This one's kind of like, I don't know, I just wish he didn't talk about that kind of thing because, you know, I just believe if you are, you live it. Well, you ain't been living it. You're not living it between your ears right now, so you can't say that. Now, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. He said to that old girl, he said, listen, he calls and she reaches out to grab a hold of him. And he says, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Where was he? He was in the heart of the earth. Say, he went to heaven. No, not yet. He was in the heart of the earth. Where was paradise? It was in the heart of the earth.
Right.
I'm sorry if you've been to a church where they never taught you that. They had to change the Bible to try to make it fit their theology. But you don't have to change the Bible. You just believe it like it is. You say, what happened? The Bible says, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart. Well, preacher, what that means is that Jesus Christ's body was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, brand new tomb there, and they laid him there in that tomb. So his body was in the heart. No, it wasn't the heart of the earth. He was in the heart of the earth. That's where paradise is. That's where hell is. How do you know that? Well, if you study your Bible, you'll find over in the book of Luke, there's Lazarus on one side in Abraham's bosom, and he looks over there and he sees that rich man, and he says, man, I see that guy. And the rich man says, man, tell Lazarus to dip his finger in some water. Must be some water in paradise.
Amen.
Tell Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and come cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in the flame. And Abraham says, man, your goose is cooked. There ain't no coming across that great gulf. No man can cross it. That same man would have been down there in hell when Jesus came in there and he says, oh, Jesus, I sure am glad to see you, man. About time we get out of here. You know, I got plenty of money. I can pay you. The Lord said, no, man, your goose is cooked. The door is slammed shut. Next time I'll see you, I'll be at the great white throne judgment. Well, you can't get across to the other side. He says, oh, yeah, you think walking on water or something. Watch me walk across that great gulf fix. And off the Lord goes and goes right across that great gulf fix that no man can cross.
Amen.
You can't get out of hell once you get in hell.
Amen.
No man can get out, no man can escape. But Jesus says, this fire ain't bothering me, man. You think the three Hebrew children got something on me? That was a warm-up for what's going on now. I've been in a fire before. I'm down here, dump off the sins of the people, dump off the sins. I'm paying for that kind of stuff. I'm leaving all that junk behind. I'm going through to the other side. That's where he was at. He comes up out of the ground there, and before he goes to the Father, he tends to a woman that nobody else would have anything to do with. A woman who, in spite of her past, remained faithful. If you study some things about that woman, you know what you'll find out? Everybody around her, even after she started following Jesus, tried to get her away from Jesus. Like they're protecting Jesus. Jesus never worried about his reputation. He wasn't worried about somebody thinking that he was a whoremonger or messing around with Mary Magdalene or some kind of foolishness like that. And he could see into the future. He's like, man, what will they say about them? Jesus wasn't worried about that. He was worried about the individual. Amen. If you're that individual today, you know what he can do? He can save your soul from the depths of hell. Amen. Don't you let religious, righteous people tell you you can't be saved. You don't know what I've done. Oh, it don't matter what you've done. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, who's the all? We're an all. You get into all the other issues, you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that when the Bible says all have sinned, it means all have sinned. There's not a good sinner and a bad sinner and a little sinner and a bad sinner. That's all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's his glory? It ain't his hinder parts, it's Jesus Christ. None of us can match up to Jesus Christ. So you know what he said? You can't get to heaven. What are you going to do? So, man, I don't know, Lord, we're done. There ain't no way we can get there. He said, you need a conduit, don't you? You need something to get you across that great gulf fix, don't you? You need something to get you through to the other side, don't you? I tell you what I'll do. I'll lay down my life. You walk across me to get to the other side. And he laid his life down to become that conduit, that bridge, that where he can reach up there and say, God, here you are, and son, here you are. I'm going to put the two of you together, but you got to go through my heart to get there. Amen. That's the hole in his side. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? You wind up getting hooked up to the other side over there, and you don't even realize all that's happened to you yet until you die, and one day you wind up there. You're going to be like that thief on the cross. You're going to say, man. And about that time, the Lord will show up and say, morning. And I know you don't think, morning, Lord, good to see you. This is a great place you got here. No, sir, man, you hit that ground, you'll sound like a dead fish hitting the bottom of a boat. You'll plop, you'll hit that floor. And the Lord will say, well, good, about time. You say, no, yeah, we're a little too high and mighty nowadays. We forgot about the Holy Son of God that died for us. You say, well, the Jews crucified him. No. Hold on a second. I get to it in a minute. Book of Acts here, just a minute. But when Pete gets to preaching over there, you know what he does? He says, you crucify the Lord of glory. You know what's real easy to do? Get garden syndrome and blame the Romans or the Jews. No. That could be said about us.
Amen.
Did I just read to you how he died for our sins?
Yes, sir.
Well, if that's the case, then me and you are put him there just as much as whoever nailed him there.
Amen.
I wish I could paint. Oh, I wish I could paint. I'd paint a picture of the cross, not the stations and all that other kind of stuff. I'd paint a picture of the cross. I'd have a Roman soldier when first picture showing him they're beating him with that cat of nine tails. And the next picture over, I'd have that Roman soldier turned around with his teeth bit off and grinning back with this devilish grin on his face. I'd paint my face there.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. I'd take him up to Calvary's cross, and I'd be there laughing and mocking and making fun of him, gambling for his clothes after I stripped him naked and laughed and made fun of him. I'd paint my picture there. I'd paint my picture, and I got ready to nail him down there. I'd paint my picture of putting his hand down there, his arm, and driving that nail down here between these two bones. I'd put my picture there. I'd hold that spike, and I'd have me turned back almost as if I was taking great pleasure in doing that. See, why would you do something like that? I wouldn't stop there. I'd paint myself putting a crown of thorns on him and taking a bamboo rod and beating it down on his head. I'd paint myself in there plucking his beard and spitting on him. I'd paint myself into the picture when it came to time to break their legs of the other two because the Sabbath was upon them and they didn't want to violate that. The religious leaders are the reason that they wanted him hurry up and die because we got a religious day tomorrow. I mean, good night. We got to hurry up and get him down. The Passover's fixing to start. Boy, if that don't sound like church to me.
Amen.
And we're murdering a man. you know, in the name of God, literally. But we got church tomorrow. You need to hurry up and get him off there before 6 o'clock, man. We in trouble. What they didn't realize, it wasn't their religion that was making them do that. The Lord said, I got 3 days. I hate to tell you this. I'm sorry I'm going to break your bubble. And I don't have time to go into it. But he wasn't crucified on Good Friday.
Amen.
There ain't no way you can put him down on Friday and get him up on Sunday and have 3 days in between.
Right.
And there ain't no half days in there. They're 3 24-hour days.
Amen. Amen.
He gets ready to go down. In the evening time on Wednesday, they break the legs. I'd paint myself with that spear in my hand and jamming him in the side just to make sure he was good and dead. Yeah, he's dead. Our job's done. Leave him up there. And about that time, out scurries his mother and John and the rest of them. And they go to taking him down from off the cross. Well, that's a bad, terrible, horrible picture. But it doesn't stop there. The Bible shows us that that is a horrible, sad thing that we need to accept our responsibility for. But, look if you will, in Acts chapter number 1, he shows that it doesn't stop there. Do you understand that the one thing that causes the greatest controversy and where there'll be more conflict than any other time is when you start talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you know why? Because people just don't want to believe that. They want to believe their life is in their own hands. You take that. Listen, you can argue about anything else you want to argue about. The devil could care less. You can talk about it till the cows come home. You can make your church whatever you want to make it and salvation any way you want to make it. You can raise $10 million and build buildings all over the place. You can get involved in political movements. You can get involved in whatever you want to be involved in, governmental issues. I don't care what you want to be involved in. The devil ain't going to mess with you at all. But when you start preaching the death and the burial and the resurrection, you better watch out. Do you realize how few churches preach it nowadays? You know what a lot of churches are doing today? Come to our church today and we'll take your picture. Easter pictures. Come to our church today and we'll have an egg hunt. Come to our church today and we'll give you a chocolate bunny. They're having all kind of giveaways and stuff like that. The greatest giveaway they could ever give them would be the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, preacher, anything to get them in. No, they're not coming for a game or a party. This is serious business. Somebody died for you. Somebody took your place on the cross. Somebody that if you'd have died, you'd have gone to hell. You couldn't come out of hell. You had to have somebody die that could go there, pay the price, and come back out. That's what we're here to talk about today. We're not here to talk about chocolate bunnies and eggs and fertility rites and anything to get the focus off the resurrection. White flowers, why? Resurrection. They testify of a resurrection. Here's one of the things the Lord says, if I'm going to have an apostle follow me, they're going to have seen me after the resurrection. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 21. Wherefore these men which have company with all of the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Watch it. Beginning from John's baptism. Do you see that? The baptism of John? Watch it. The baptism of John was to reveal the Messiah. All right, now watch it. Unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Why does the Lord put that in there if it's not important? Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Here goes Peter. He starts preaching over here. Look in verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Can I say that again? He was approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs. Who is the you? Israel, the Jew. How is he proven to them? Signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, now watch it. Him being delivered by the determinate counselor and foreknowledge of God. How do you know that? Isaiah 53. Listen, this thing wasn't like all of a sudden the Lord changed the game plan and all of a sudden decided that when the Lord sent him down there in Luke chapter number 2 and they bound him up and swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger and suddenly there was with the heavenly host of glory singing glory to God and all that other stuff. Listen, that wasn't happenstance. God said they're going to have somebody to be able to make a propitiation or stand between them and their sin or they can't get here. They could have just said, we'll just start over again. We've done it before, we'll just start again. The Lord said, no, there's another way. How will that be? Well, you got to go die. And Jesus said, what's that? And he said, well, I guess you wouldn't know anything about that unless we could put you in the body of a human being. Jesus said, this is getting interesting. He said, how about if we do this? You say, how do you know about that? All the way back in the Old Testament, they prophesied about him being born in Bethlehem thousands of years before he ever showed up. God already decided how he was going to work the thing out. God already told you what was going to happen. He told you about the taxes. He told about riding on the donkey. He told the whole nine yards in there, including Isaiah 53, his crucifixion for our sins, and including him coming in for the triumphal entry and the millennial kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't happenstance like when Jesus got down. It's like, well, you know what? I got to die now. From Jump Street, he knew he was coming to die. Notice what he says here in the Bible, verse number 23. Him being delivered by you, determined a counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Now let me ask you a question. If the resurrection isn't important, how come it keeps popping up? You know, we have a saying around here, if God says it once, it's important. But if he says it a multitude of times, it's even more important. Would you agree with that? Let's go just a little bit further. Look in chapter 2, verse number 31. This is talking about David and where David's sepulcher is and so on and so forth. The Lord throws it in here again. Verse 31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in H-E-L-L. If you have any Bible that changes that, make it Sheol or Hades or Gehenna or anything like that. They're duping you. They're trying to make you think that you have to know the present perfect tenses of Greek words. You don't need Greek to understand the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit and know a little bit about English. And if you don't, get a dictionary. But you know what? The people that want to lord over you want to even use their education to try to do something that took them years to learn. And I just tell you this much about it. If you put the accent or the ante-p note in one place different than where it's at, you change the entire meaning of the word. That's why he wrote it in English. But you know what they want to do? They always want to water down that thing called hell. No, his soul wasn't in hell. They say, well, here's what the scholars say. Well, there's no way that Jesus went to hell. Yes, he did. Did you read 2 Peter? He most certainly did. He preached to the spirits in hell. Where is that? It's under your feet. There's a fire burning in the basement right now. Jesus has been there. He saw it. He's there. You say, what happened? He created it. See, when did he create it? Way back before. You say, what was it created for? For the devil and his angels. I got to say this. It was created for the devil and his angels. Amen. It wasn't created for you. God never had any intention in you going there. Amen. So if you go there, it's because you choose to go there. It ain't because he didn't give you a way out of there. Amen. If you go there, it's because you reject the Holy Son of God's death, burial, and resurrection. And you say, I can handle it myself. I'll take care of it. I'll pay for my own sins. Help yourself, not me. I'll take the chicken's way out. I'll take the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection. Notice what happens in the Bible. He comes on down a little bit further. It creates a stir in the crowd. Verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Why? Because Jesus came up. Did you realize over there in the book of Matthew chapter number 28, you probably know this. I know you people read your Bible a lot. Did you realize that when the Lord came up and that stone rolled back and the soldiers there were astonished, they were astonished, they were frozen in their tracks at what they were seeing, and the Lord walks out there and says, hey, morning boys, how y'all doing this morning? And this Roman guard standing there like, these are the baddest of the bad. These are the meanest of the mean. They're not no little wimpy, query kind of soldiers. I mean, these guys are people that have no problem torturing people and killing people for a living. They're standing guard. This is the innermost guard, the king's guard, the most important individuals. You call them special forces. That's what you would call these guys. I mean, they're the top of the whole Roman group there, the Roman centurions. And they're standing guard out there. You know what they did? They went running like a bunch of little girls and they got over to the religious people. They said, man, that guy came out of the ground. That guy came out of the ground. That guy came out of the ground. You got to do something, man. That guy, we saw that guy come out of the ground. They said, hey, listen, man, how much it cost us for you to shut your mouth? Said, man, you got to be kidding me. Pilate's going to kill me. Our prisoner has escaped. Pilate's seal has been broken. We're in serious trouble. They will put all of us to death. Death of the Roman soldier if you let the prisoner escape. I know what's going to happen. They're going to put me to death. The guy says, no, we got it. What's your price? Name your price. We got it. They said, well, how are you going to convince Pilate? I said, don't you worry about Pilate. We'll convince him. You know what them birds did? They went out there and lied about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though they saw it with their own eyes, because guess what? Somebody gave them some money. Right. I was telling my wife the other day, can you imagine how Annas and Caiaphas and those Roman soldiers and Pilate and the rest of that bunch must feel about right now? Don't you know that all of a sudden, one day, their life came to an end. Herod, the rest of them, one day their life came to an end, and all of a sudden they drop down there, and they hit the center, hottest part of hell, and they're down there burning. They're going, oh man, we done made a mess now. Amen. You say, where are they now? They're right now. Right. Amen. With Hitler and the rest of them. Man, we messed up now. We're in trouble now. You say, why? Because it's as much real now as it is then. But can you imagine the decisions they made, listen to me, for the moment, and the consequences in eternity? Are you hearing me this morning?
Yes, sir.
There's many of us that make that immediate sacrifice on the altar of the immediate without stopping to think and to consider the eternal consequences of our decision, the eternity that is going to weigh in the balance. And now all of a sudden, those Roman soldiers who lied against their conscience and against what they were to do and got paid off, got bribed off, and Pilate and Herod and Annas and Caiaphas smacked the tar out of him. They're sitting there watching him like they're doing God a service by crucifying him. They questioned him. They said he was a blasphemer because he claimed to be the Son of God. They smacked him in the head and plucked his beard. Those same individuals are in hell right now because they made a decision to protect themselves and their reputation.
Yeah, right. Come on.
But time caught him.
Amen.
The hands of time finally swept around, and one day that heart tightened. And that chest hurt, and they couldn't get a breath, and off into eternity. And down they went. You say, when will they get to see Jesus again? The great white throne judgment. If the Lord were to come right now, it would be at least 1,000 more years ago.
Right. Amen.
Till after, they're burning now. And some of you, you know what will happen? You'll sit here today, and you know what you'll say? Well, it's just a little nice little Easter message. Yeah, but if he not only died but was resurrected the next time, 3 days later, that means if you reject him today, you might be down there with Pilate and the rest of those Roman soldiers and everybody else who's made a decision to reject him up to this moment.
Right.
That might mean some of you are about to make a decision today that you're more interested in the altar of the immediate, the things that are temporary, instead of the things that are permanent.
Amen.
Make decisions in light of the judgment seat of Christ. You don't make decisions in light of what's going to happen tomorrow. Say, what's going to happen tomorrow? Who knows? But I know the judgment seat of Christ is coming. So you know what I can do? I can be prepared for that, and then I'm ready for no matter what happens tomorrow.
Amen.
Let's go just a little bit further. Teresa, you need to bring him more often. He's about to preach me to death. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter number 3. Peter continues to preach this about the Lord. They got upset about hearing it. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, I'll just tell you the story. You can read it while I'm there, but there's a man here who's laying there sick. You see him? He can't get up. You see that? And you have two apostles that come by right there, and when they get ready to come by there, Peter and John are walking there in verse number 1 or 2, wherever it is there, and they come by, and they come by that gate. And when they get to that gate right there, they stop, and the guy says, you know, here, you know, alms, alms, alms. And Peter says, listen, I don't have any money. Silver and gold, he says, have I none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. Right?
Amen.
Arise, take up your bed. And he reaches down there, grabs him by the right hand, and pulls him up. And the guy takes off running, and then he runs into the temple, and he's shouting and praising God and leaping. He must not have been a Baptist. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say, preacher, you think Baptists are going to go to heaven? If it's based on your shouting and leaping, no, probably not. The Lord's going to get a leap out of you sooner or later. But notice what happens. They're all filled with wonder and amazement. You come on down there, and then they're asking Peter, what happened? Notice the people saw it. And instead of rejoicing over the fact that the guy's shouting and jumping and hollering and he can walk again, they're upset about it. So they come to Pete about that, and Peter says this in verse 4, but ye denied the holy and just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, Barabbas, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. By the way, we're talking about the resurrection this morning, if you hadn't figured that up. Peter says right off the bat, it's not who you just murdered. It's you murdered him, but God raised him. You killed him, but God raised him. Obviously, he laid his life down. Come just a little bit further over, verse number 26. He says the same thing. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus what?
Resurrection.
So when Peter gets out, guess what he does? He can't shut up about the resurrection. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to reading and I thought, I guess if I saw that, I probably couldn't shut up about it either. I mean, if I was there and I was present and I saw the Lord and He walked out of His tomb and then He walked up to me and says, hey, Pete, how you doing? It's kind of like, Holy Moses. I don't know what he was saying. He was Jewish. He must have been thinking, or Holy Abraham, maybe. I mean, what would you say if all of a sudden they're like, oh, lady, you didn't see him. You're crazy. You're overwhelmed. You're wrought with anxiety. You got all kind of problems. You got any kind of issues. You've been dipping in the sauce too much. Something's wrong with you, man. You're crazy. You're nuts. You've been up too long. You're sleep deprived. Something's the matter with you. No. I saw him. And he must have gone up and come back down, because before I could get here, we saw him. We handled him. We touched him. And I'm telling you, we saw him. They said, man, you're crazy. They took off running to the tomb. They run in there. Peter and John run in there. And they take a look in there. And think, man, he ain't here. An angel says, what y'all doing here? Ladies, listen. The angel said, didn't them women tell you he's risen? What's the matter? You didn't believe the woman? Are you crazy or something? She's right sometimes. Come on, ladies. Amen. You could save yourselves a lot of tracks if you'd listen sometimes. Hallelujah, I ain't feeling the love.
It's here.
They said, hey, listen, man, did you not hear what she said? He's not here. What'd you come to see a tomb for? What'd you come to see the bed, the grave clothes for, and the napkin folded up here? What'd you come to see all that for? He ain't here. You need to go find him. They're like, man, what is it? Here goes two fellows. They walk on the road to Emmaus. Man, we're bummed. The Lord just pops in and shows. The Bible says in another form. I don't know what he did. Maybe, you know, I don't know how he showed up, but they didn't recognize him. But he shows up there in another form, and they said, man, we're bummed. And he said, what you bummed about? And they said, well, you know, hadn't you heard? And he said, heard what? And he said, well, today's the third day. And he goes, okay, what does that mean? He said, well, I mean, you know, he said on the third day he'd rise again. Who's that? Jesus. What happened? Crucifixion. And all of a sudden he stops and he says, oh, fools and slow of heart. He said, what's your problem, boys? Unbelief get you?
Yeah.
And he goes along there for just a little ways, and he begins to expound the scriptures, and those guys are awestruck, and they're thinking, man, who is this guy? And their hearts begin to catch on fire on the inside, and they begin to burn. And they said, man, there's only one person that when he talks, it makes you feel this way on the inner man. There's something going on here. Man, there's power in that guy's words. And all of a sudden, and he said, won't you come by and eat with us? And he said, nah, I got to go on down the road. I got things to do. He'd have nothing to do, man. Go to heaven. Going to be around 40 days. Nah, I got stuff to do. And he acted, the Bible said, as if he'd go on. Oh, if you could get a hold of this, because I could preach on this for an hour. He acted as if he would go on. You know what he wanted to see? Do you want me to stay? Do you want to be bothered? Do you want to be put out? Do you want to hear me talk more, spend more, say more, do more? You want to listen to more of that? And then he's like, nah, I thank you very much. Appreciate the invite, but I got to go. And they're like, no! Come on with us, man. We'll pay for dinner. We just want to hear you talk. And he said, well, all right, if you insist, I'll go by there. And he sits down at the tables, and them guys reach over there, and he says, pass the taters, man. Give me the corn down this way. Pass the peas over here. Give me some of that rice and gravy over here. Let's get all this kind of stuff, all sorts of carbohydrates, you know. And get all this kind of, oh, y'all better have a little fish, a little protein and stuff like that. And bring all that over here. And they start to dig in. The Lord says, he said, you boys forgetting something? They said, no, I think we're good to go, man. I think everything's fine. The Lord said, let me see if this will help you. He grabs a piece of that bread.
Oh, my.
He breaks it,
yes.
And they went, man, we know who that is. And he blessed that bread,
amen.
And they said, that's Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to have a fit. Listen, the Bible says that as soon as they got up from there, they ran back to tell the other. I mean, you're talking about in a hurry to get back to church, man. You didn't have to beg them to go visiting or knock on a door to pass out something or whatever. I mean, they could not wait to tell somebody, I saw the resurrected Lord. I had dinner with Him. Hey, it didn't matter if it had been Einstein or Bill Gates or Rockefeller or nobody else. I had dinner with Jesus after He was dead, after He was buried, after He was resurrected. I had dinner with the resurrected Savior. I'm special. Hallelujah. He's resurrected. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Man, they got sweat dripping off of them, and they're sitting there, man, why do you think we ran? We don't run to do nothing. Why you think we're so excited? We don't get excited about nothing. We're reserved. But I can't hold or contain myself. I had dinner with Jesus. And they said, yeah, okay. And about that time, they don't even hear the door open. Somebody passes through the door. He just walks in there. Now, I don't think he comes in and like this litany of angels goes, whoa. Lord's just a common guy. He wasn't big on entrances until the second coming. You say, how do you know that? Well, did you look at how he came in the first time? Can I just tell you, if you judge something simply with common sense and you look at the emphasis he puts on how he came the first time and how he comes the second time, you must think that there's a difference in the way he's coming and the importance of the two. It wasn't on his birth. It was on what he did after he died and buried and raised again the third day. So I think the Lord walks in. The common man, fishermen, tax collectors, mom, prostitutes, stuff like that. The misfits of society are in that room. They're scared to death, man. Every time the door wiggles, somebody, dog barks. They're thinking, man, they're coming after us now. They're coming after us now. They're coming after us now. I think the Lord probably walks in and he just goes, and they're all, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They look like a Baptist seeing God for the first time. I mean, really, I think it's like scared them. You know, it's kind of like, oh, what are you doing here? Well, wherever two or three are gathered together, I figure it'd be a good place to show up here. You know, if you guys work out your differences, I figure I'd come down in the midst and have a meeting with you. If you're talking about me, that gets my attention instead of talking about each other and your problems and stuff like that. Amen. So I thought I'd come by because I noticed y'all were talking about me.
Amen.
And that always has a tendency to draw my attention. So, I said, well, did you come through the door? Yeah, exactly. Right through the door. And they said, well, how do we know it's you? Well, he said, well, come handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone. Where do you think I got these things? Didn't go down to no ear-piercing store to get them. Couldn't have done it to myself. Got them in my feet. Right here. Of course, Thomas, he wasn't there yet. We get to him in about 8 days later. 8 days later. That happens when you don't show up on Sunday night, but that's a whole other thing. Had to get that one in there. Hallelujah. That's when Thomas was there when the Lord showed up. Watch this now. The Lord shows up and he said, and the girls, I know what you ladies did. I know what you did. I told you so. Tell them, Jesus. And he said, hey, now y'all come. No, you tell them I saw you at the tomb. I saw the girls and all that. I told you. You men think we're not worth nothing, but he appeared to us first. You ain't going to never rewrite that one in the Bible. We get first from now on. Hallelujah. You know what they do? They're held in awe. Then all of a sudden, they vanish. The Lord vanishes. He stays around for 40 days or so. Let's go just a little bit further. Let's talk about this preaching because Peter continues to preach this and he preaches this with boldness. And you know what gets him in trouble? It's preaching that Jesus is alive. See, they thought if they got him killed, their problem was over. That's what most people today believe. If we can just have him born and buried, we're good. But they got that problem with that. He's still alive today. I serve a risen Savior. You sung it. Who's in the world today, not yesterday. I know that he's living. Why? Because he lives in here. The token evidence to me is not my eyeballs. It's what's going on inside here. Especially right now. The Lord's going, you tell him, boy. You tell him. You can't kill him. Watch what happens. You go on a little bit further in the passage. Look in Acts chapter number 4. Verse number 10. Be it known unto you all, to all the people by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, sticks them. Couldn't be most preachers today because he actually stuck them. Amen. See, here's the thing. When you use the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper, sharper, sharper than any two-edged sword. So what do you know about sharp knives? I've about cut my full hand off on a number of occasions. A friend of mine gave me a knife I still have. And he said, now you want to be careful, like I was a little boy or something. Want to be careful with this knife. It'll cut you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I carry a gun, don't you know? I can shoot people if I need to. I can handle a knife. And I'm bandaged up on the way back to the house with my hand bleeding all over the creation, man. And I'm sitting there. And of course, he kind of looks at me and he goes, I told you that thing was sharp. You know why most preaching doesn't have any edge to it anymore? You know what they use? They use every Bible but a King James Bible. It's like trying to saw your head off with a piece of bread. It's like trying to cut something with a piece of bread or a potato. You can't make no hay with that kind of stuff. But when you preach the Bible and use the Bible, it'll cut you. And it'll cut out the old man from the new. It'll separate. It'll divide. It'll remove you from what used to be. And bring the resurrection of life to you. It's unfortunate nowadays. Most people resist that surgery. Most people don't even understand that they're doing their best to keep you sedated. They don't want the surgery, the operation made without hands to take place. Just come to church and be a good person and let's do something morally or politically, but let's don't do nothing for God. Let's just be better people. Peter gets in trouble because you know what he said? Hate to tell you guys something. But he's still alive. Can you come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? You see why it's so important for you to keep things the way they're supposed to be? You say why? The power is in the resurrection. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that blood is eternal blood and that blood's what got him up. You're saved and sealed, baptized into the body of Christ by the blood. But it would not mean anything if he hadn't come up. You know what that's a testimony of? It's a testimony that the blood was eternal blood. Well, why is this thing important? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's such an imperative part of the gospel that if you remove that part of the gospel, then there's no other, there's the religion, it doesn't separate you from anything else. Here's the problem. Some people believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection, but they look for another way other than that way. Yeah. Don't be fooled by people that say, well, I believe that. Then put it into action. Right. I was dealing with an individual from a different religion, and some of you may be here today. I would not be offensive intentionally, but he's a different religion, and he sat down with me across from my desk a few years ago, and I said to him, and I said, listen, I'll tell you what we believe about the gospel. And I showed him 1 Corinthians 15. And he said, well, I believe that. And I said, well, if you believe that, and I took him over to Romans. I said, you believe all have sinned? He goes, well, sure, I believe that. And I said, do you believe that you have to confess Jesus Christ? And he said, well, sure, I believe you have to confess Jesus Christ. I said, do you believe you have to believe in the resurrection as part of that? Romans chapter number 10, how that God raised him from the dead. Yep. That's part of your belief. Yes, sir. And he goes, well, yeah. And I said, have you ever asked him to be your Savior? He goes, I don't have to. I have an intermediate. I said, you do? Now, I'm not going to be smart. Please don't misunderstand me. I'll try to tone it down so I don't offend you. He said, sure. Mary, his mother, makes intercession for me. I said, okay. I said, well, can I ask you this question? Why then, when Jesus was dying on the cross, did he say to Mary, woman, behold your son, and John, behold them? And why, when the thief said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, why didn't he say, Mary was right there. Why didn't he say, well, there's my mother. Pray to her. She'll put in a good word for you.
Right.
He didn't say that.
He said, I didn't think about that. I said, the priest was right there, wasn't he? He said, yes. Why didn't he tell you to go to the priest and confess your sins?
Right.
You know what he told him? Today.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say something smart, so don't be offended. But I'm going to say something smart. Are you stupid enough to believe that the Lord, in all of His wisdom, if there was another way to get there than to go by Him, that the Lord wouldn't have told them a different way to do it?
Right.
Are you dumb enough to believe that when He said today, that He meant today?
Yeah,
that's what I believe.
Amen.
You know what He means? That means if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How soon? Like that. Today. Like that. Today. You say, well, I just believe there's more to it than that. See, that's religion. That's not relationship.
Amen.
You don't get saved by religion. I said, let me ask you a question. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Is that right? And he said, where's that at? He wasn't being funny.
Oh, boy.
I said, if I could show you that, would you be willing to ask the Lord to save you? And he goes, I said, listen, man, are you serious? You believe in hell and you believe the death of the burial, the resurrection, but you've never asked him to save you? He goes, well, I believe it. I said, you're a liar. In a nice way, I said that. I said, you're a liar. He goes, no, I really do believe that. I said, no, you don't. If you believed it, you'd act on it. You know it. You don't believe it. I took him over there to Hebrews. I said, here's the mediator. Doesn't say anything about Mary. He looked and he said, wow. I said, Bill, let me tell you something. You know where you're struggling right now? He said, no, sir. And I said, you're struggling because you got some people that have already died. They believed what you believed up to this point. And you know that if you believe what I'm about to tell you, that means they're in hell. And he said, you're right. Boy, that face fell. Blood just drained out of his face. He just slumped down in that seat. And I said, you went on to spend eternity in hell because of them? He said, well, I guess I need to think about it. I never saw him again. Maybe the Holy Spirit got him. I don't know. It wasn't me to close the deal, just me to tell him what's going on. But you know what? There's some of you, I bet, today. And you're here, and it's not happenstance you're here. Somebody handed you a card. Somebody invited you. It's Easter. You feel like I need to go to church today. You do need to go to church today. Amen. It is a special. It's a great day for you to be in church today. And you're here, but you know why you're here? Because God said, you know something? You need to get down there to that place, and you need to hear the unadulterated gospel with no frills and no spills, that the Lord will take you just as you are, and he'll save your soul just as you are, if you'll just come to him and admit you're a sinner and confess him as your Savior. It's all you need to do. You say, what did you do? Well, that's what I did.
Amen.
So you can't be saved. You know, you're saved because you're a preacher. No. Can I tell you why I'm saved? Because I trusted Jesus.
Amen.
Can I tell you why I'm a preacher? Because God looked down at me and he said, if I don't call that guy to preach, he probably won't go to church. He probably won't give. He probably won't read his Bible. He probably won't pray. He probably won't study. So I'm going to help him out. God help the people that are his parishioners. But I'm going to call him to preach. To help him. I don't think God called me to preach because I'm some special gift to the people. I think the greatest thing God did for me next to salvation was to call me to preach. You say, why? It helps me with my faithfulness.
Amen.
See, I'm faithful even when you're not. But I'm not too hard on you about faithfulness. You know why? Because I know that if God hadn't called me to preach, there'd be a lot of times I probably wouldn't be here either. I'm just being honest. I'd like to think I'd be as faithful as some of you. But that's kind of a pipe dream in your own mind to think that. Maybe I would. I don't know. I had the urgings of my wife earlier when we would go to church together and stuff like that. But, you know, midnight shift, baby, I'm really tired. I got, you know, and so on and so forth. I know how the thing goes. But I don't take any credit at all for the situation as far as the Lord did me the favor of calling me to preach. He helped me out. He said, well, you won't be faithful any other way. He said, what do you get when you get to heaven for it? Nothing. I won't get nothing for it. You say, why? You're being faithful. I have to be faithful. It's part of what is required of me. You're the ones that get the reward for being faithful because you ain't got to be. You see why it's important? It's a gift. Lord, I'm doing it because I love you. No, I preach because I love him and I'm here because I love him. But there's times I go home and pass out in my chair. My wife brings me something to eat for lunch and I sit down in the chair and, honey, just give me about 20 minutes. Next thing I know, I'm out. Been up since 4:30 in the morning usually, and I'm tired, and there's a lot of pressure to this, believe it or not. I should put a mirror up here and let you people see yourselves. There's a lot of pressure. You know, there's a lot of... You know, and so I see a lot of you reaching for your ankle and stuff. He don't shut up, I'll shut him up. There have been a lot of times, though, I I'll sit there and she'll come by and she'll say, honey, she'll usually have me a cup of coffee on Sunday. And she'll say, baby, it's time to get up. I said, I don't want to get up. I'm tired. She says, I know. She said, time to go to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. I'm tired. They don't care if I come anyway. They'll probably have a party if I don't show up. They don't care. They'll probably have somebody get up and give 3 points and point them, go to the house and say, whew, man, we finally got out on time. What a blessing. She says, that ain't true. Hush up and get up now. Come on. I said, I want to. She says, you have to. I said, I don't have to. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. She said, you're the preacher. You have to go. Oh, yeah, there's that. And then there's the responsibility of my wife and my testimony. Why do you come to church? Well, I don't be pleasing the Lord. Oh, boy, you'll see that show up. Are you with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Let me show you why this is important. We've lost a lot of people. Brother Bert's lost 3 people in the last, how many months, Brother Bert? Your son, your mother, and now your dad. Not quite a year. Brother Greg's mom was real sick the other day. My mom's been real sick. We've been back and forth at the doctor, and she's fixing to have surgery on Friday. And good night. Brother Revels right now is at St. Vincent's Hospice, and his mama's over there. And probably in the next 24 hours or so, she's going home to be with the Lord. Kristen's been gone, what, 2.5-3 years now? Anybody in here lost anybody in the last 5 years? Really? We just had a funeral here for her son, 29 years of age, gone, had it here 2 Sundays ago. He said, preacher, why are you telling me about all this? You ain't going to always be alive and kicking all the time. Amen. Sooner or later, death's dew is going to come lay on your brow. You're going to be in a stinking box. Yes, if you can afford it anymore. Or they'll put you in a box and have to dispose of you another way. And that's getting to be have to be common nowadays. Sissy's gone. Mama's gone. Aunt's gone. Uncle's gone. Kid's gone. Right? What difference does the resurrection make?
Everything.
Are you kidding me? If he didn't resurrect, then when we're dead, we're done. But if he resurrected, if he came up, that means we do sorrow, but not as others that have no hope. Why? Because God says, my son came up, and therefore if you're in him, you are going to come up. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, this is why it is so vitally important for you to understand this. Do you see why all the stuff about standards and politics and all that other stuff don't matter? Listen, none of that stuff helps anybody when somebody's dead. None of the foolishness and the bickering and the just gossip and junk, that don't help nobody when somebody's dead. Man, the gospel of the resurrection does. Watch what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm not there. I'll have to just, I guess, quote some of it to you. I would not have you to be ignorant. Right?
Amen.
I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Oh, come on, Paul, tell me what the hope is. For if we believe that Jesus died and
rose again.
Come on!
Why does that matter? Because that's what gives you hope.
Yes, sir.
That's what allows me to be able to comfort somebody. Yes, to tell Sister Pelosi when she comes in the office and tears are running down her face and she's saying, he was only 29 and I've already lost another daughter. What in the world? Hey, the hope is he was saved.
Yes.
And as a result, I don't hope that he's living again. No, I know that he's living right now. You say, how do you know that? Paul says, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. A second death's dew sits upon their brow and they pass from this life, they step into the next life.
Amen.
There's no intermittent, I was just checking you out for a second.
Right.
The second you breathe your last breath, the Lord says, how you doing?
Amen. Amen.
Amen, Lord.
That's good.
Amen.
Yeah. That's our hope.
Yes.
Death on a battlefield. Death on a battleship. Death if they send the nukes flying.
Yeah.
Okay? These guys that I know, a lot of you in the military that are here, a lot of you policemen that are here, you face it on a regular basis, whether it's directly at you or dealing with it in other people's lives. You've all dealt with what I've dealt with. When you see the difference in a family who realizes the death, the burial, but the resurrection, as opposed to somebody who has no hope, the sorrowing is entirely different. So here's what I'm here to tell you today. I'm here to tell you today the Easter message is not bunnies and eggs and picture taking and parties and picnics and all that kind of stuff, special dinners. Nice. Some of you look nicer than you've looked in a long time. You got on new duds and stuff. You look real nice. Amen. Some of you ladies, you finally got your husbands into a nice suit of clothes and he looks like he's got some home training. That's wonderful. But the real change is on the inside. What we're here to do today is to celebrate not just that Jesus died, not just that He was buried, but that He rose again. Amen. On the third day. So what that enables all of us to do is to know that if before this afternoon one of us were to drop, let's say the Lord would give me the answer to my prayer. Say for the rapture? Well, if the rapture doesn't come, I pray for the other thing. I pray on a Sunday afternoon or night that while Adrenaline's fixing dinner, that I'm like that old preacher who went in, him and her had been preaching for years. Man, they'd been through all kind of battles and troubles and problems and everything in the world. And she walked in and he kind of just sort of, he's about 80 years old, he just sort of flipped up on the couch and plopped down, propped his feet up there like that. And she said, "Wow. You really think you're something, don't you?" He said, "Well, I preached good today, didn't I, honey?" And she said, "You did preach good today, honey." She said, "I'm going to go make dinner for you." He started laughing. She stuck out, had the old apron on, man, had biscuit dough all over her face, you know, where she'd been pushing her glasses up. She stuck her head around that corner. She said, "Yo, fool, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I don't know, I just feel so good. I just feel so good." He said, "I feel like a young man." She said, "Oh, my goodness." And she goes back in. And the chicken gets ready. He's got the plate going out with the platter to the dining table. And she sets it out there and she says, "Baby, it's time to eat dinner. Honey, it's time to eat dinner. Honey." Gone. That'd be the way to go,
amen,
man.
Amen.
"I just feel so good." Gone. You've been touched by death? 1 Corinthians 15. You don't have to turn there. I'm winding it up. 1 Corinthians 15. You know what he says? "O death, where is thy O grave, where is thy
victory?"
Now, I like to fix that one up a little bit. The old man said to me one time, he said, "Listen, if you have to bury me," he said, "do me a favor." And I said, "Yes, sir, whatever you'd like for me to do, I'll be glad to." He said, "When they put me in that box, first of all, make sure I'm really dead." He said, "A lot of people don't like me." And he said, "They might just sedate me or like do voodoo on me or something and put me in there." And he said, "I don't want to wake up and can't get out."
Right.
I said, "Okay, I'll make sure." And he said, "You know how they crank that thing down, you know, and tighten it?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Leave that a little bit loose so I can get out." He said, "Because I'm coming out one day."
Amen.
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 I like to walk in the graveyard every now and then. I like to kick the dirt. I like to say, "He ain't going to have him forever. He ain't going to keep him forever. She's coming out. He's coming out. He ain't going to keep him forever. Death, where's your victory? Where's the sting? Grave, where's your victory? You mean you can't hold them? Why not? Because they couldn't hold Jesus."
That's right.
I'll close with this. I stole it. The great black preacher preached this. He says, "Sunday's Coming" is the name of the message. I like to listen to it. It's a great sermon, man. The guy can really preach. He's doctrinally right too. But anyway, he says this. He said, the devil, he said, I can't talk like it, but he said the Lord died, you know, and he went down to the lower parts of the earth, and the devil came over there to death, and he said, hey, death. He said, you got his body there? And death said, I got him, man. I got him. I got him. You got to worry about him. I got him. The devil said, make sure you don't turn it. He said, I got him. I got him. Leave me alone. I got him. Day one passes. Day two comes along. Devil comes over there and says, hey, death. He says, you still got him down there? He said, I got him, man. I got him. When I get him, nobody gets him out. They're done for. They're finished. They're done. He's down for the count. He's out. Don't worry about it. I got him. Okay. Second day passes. Third day comes. Goes about middle of the third day. He says, hey, death. He says, I told you I got him. I got him. So fine, I'll come check with you evening time and see. He said, fine, he ain't going nowhere. Right there, you got him. Evening time comes. About 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Hey, death.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah.
Hey, death. Hey, death, are you down there? Yeah, I'm here. You got him? Something done gone wrong down here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, something done gone wrong down here. He's up. He's gone. He's out. Resurrected. That's what makes us different than everybody else and every other religion. I don't have to kill nobody that don't believe like I do. I don't have to force it down their throat. I can present him as a gift, and if they'll accept him, they're guaranteed to live forever. They don't have to work to get it. The work has been done. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like for our companies to come. I'd like to close the service in an old-fashioned way.
Amen.
I'd like for us to play Just As I Am. Brother Sam, you come. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for thee. Now, what I'd like for you to do is I don't know, what's the number? We got somebody who can play over here. Where's Brother Gary? Brother Grider, go ahead. What's the number, sis? 149. If you'd like to get it right there. And I would like for you to stand together. And let me say this to you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, go ahead and come in. 249. You can come down here and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I did. Are you a sinner? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. You have to know you're a sinner and know that He died for your sins according to the Scripture, was buried. But raised again on the third day. Sing with us. Just as I am. Anybody like that? You can trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't let the day go by. It's a great day. Got that old-fashioned feel to it. Christian, you want to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ? Come down and tell Him your problems. On the second stanza. Listen to yourself sing.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark lot to
sing the third stanza. Let's sing the third stanza.
Just as I am, though tossed about
with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings with him and fears without,
God.
Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as our accompanists continue to play. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen to me just for a moment now as they continue to play. Jesus Christ died for your sins. That means He cares about you. If you've never trusted Him as your personal Savior, and you'd like to today, but you're kind of put off by the crowd and by the amount of people and that kind of a thing, let me just tell you, you don't have to come to an altar to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If there's somebody here today that would be honest with me and you would say, even now, you say, "Preacher, I want to be honest with you. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know this. I do not want to go to hell when I die." Now, before you raise your hand, I promise you, I will not come to you. I will not call you out or send anybody to get you. I simply want to have a word of prayer with you. Anybody here today that would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I don't want to go to hell when I die, and I'm not sure." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Anybody? All right, we're going to sing the last stanza of that song, and then we'll close.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pour, Thou cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise, Thy believable land of God, I come.
Our Father, we sure do thank You for Your many blessings, God. We thank You for not only coming down and showing great signs, wonders, and miracles. We thank You, God, for tabernacling, dwelling in the flesh, so that You could relate to us and then offer Yourself as a sacrifice so that we might have a payment for our sins. And today, Lord, we're here to give honor and glory to You. We're grateful that we have something that we can hope in and something that we can rejoice in. And thank You, God, that You didn't stay down. Amen. Thank You, Lord, that You came back up. We'd ask now, Father, that You bless the remaining part of this day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have your attention for just maybe a minute. I hope not longer than that. Tonight,